This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show on the Tan Talk Radio Network with your hosts Kelly Kelly and Doug Kelly. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and travel writer, as well as the publisher of the popular ColorfulClearwater.com blog. And Doug is the author of three published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. Now, here they are.
Well, here we are, and congratulations to Brooks Koepka. If you don't know who he is, he just won the Professional Golf Association tournament. It's one of the four majors in the world each year. He came in second in the Masters recently. And the big controversy is what they call LIV golf, L-I-V golf. And the controversy is that it's a rival tour to the PGA Tour. The LIV Tour is financed by the folks in Saudi Arabia. And that's caused a lot of disconcertment among many people. On the other hand, the PGA Tour has taken people who are now multimillionaires and have made $50, $100 million, $200 million or more, some of them, not all of them. So the question is it a good rivalry? Is it good for golf, or is it divisive? Well, time will tell. I think it'll be good for golf, ultimately. It's already forced the PGA Tour to increase the purses, to maybe reduce the workload and requirements on the golfers. And Brooks Koepka winning this tournament as a member of LIV Golf is kind of a wake-up call to the PGA Tour. So the bigger question is, do you try to shut them out like a big corporation tries to do to someone coming into their field, or do you buy them out or bring them in? So those are kind of the options. But it's going to be fun seeing how it all plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are live right now on Facebook. We're also podcast, and we are also on the YouTube channel of WTAN Tan Talk Radio
That's correct.
Network.
Yep. You know, the Kelly Kelly Show gives a platform to responsible people in the Tampa Bay area. If you like exhaustive debates and endless arguing over the issues of the day, switch channels. They're all important, but it's just not our bag. If instead you'd like an hour of fun chat and a few laughs, let's do it together.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have that fun in a minute with our first guest, Kathleen Beckman, councilperson for the city of Clearwater. Mm-hmm. We're going to chat with her. She's a very interesting person. And then afterwards, we're going to talk a little bit about someone you've never heard of before, named Elizabeth Smith.
Yeah, you told me all about her, and boy, is she interesting.
Remarkable person, and I'll tell you her story. It's kind of a sad thing in a way, too. It kind
yes,
of
it
shows
is.
How women really didn't get anywhere way back in the early part of the century and in way before then, and the trouble she had being a brilliant genius and mm-hmm. still moving ahead.
And all the men took all the credit for her work.
And all the men took credit for her work. But it's a great story and an unfortunate one in a way, but I'm glad that we've come a little bit a long way in mm-hmm. equal pay equal recognition.
We're not there yet.
Well,
we're getting there.
You get double what I make. How much is zero plus zero?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, at any rate, we're going to come back right after this, and we'll get more into the Kelly Kelly Show. So stay with us. We'll be right after this.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282. or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at guyharvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at guyharvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. In only its second year, ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater's citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure. A monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all, to make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other, to collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us on the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Doug Kelly with my better three quarters, Kelly Kelly. Yes, that's really her name. And we're also here with Big Ed Davis, the executive producer of the Tantalk Radio Network. Ed, how goes it? Oops.
Wrong button. My button's pushed in. I hate when that happens.
I always push your buttons.
Getting old. It was hot today.
Yeah. It is hot.
It was like August hot today.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Sticky.
Humidity's back. No rain, which is the worst part.
Yeah. My dog, I have a home office. The dog keeps walking in and looking up at me. She wants to do a walk. And I keep telling her later, like at 6 or 7 o'clock, you know.
Or 8.
Or even 8.
Yeah.
Because it's dripping wet.
It's hot.
Walk outside. It's crazy.
The pavement is hot. Yep. Our little paws get burned.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need little booties.
Well, let's introduce our guest.
Absolutely. Kathleen Beckman. She's Clearwater City Council person. And Kathleen, tell us about your background.
Well, I'm from the Midwest. I was born in Michigan, Port Huron, Michigan, and grew up in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan. My dad worked in state government. He was a social worker and then got a law degree and worked in state government. He was a lobbyist for the governor of Michigan for a number of years and then director of the Department of Labor and chairman of the Public Service Commission. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom who babysat neighborhood kids and then volunteered and worked as a teacher's aide in the school that was right out of our backyard. So grew up with a lot of community engagement and then went to Western Michigan University and have a degree in business and psychology and got married to my high school sweetheart, Brian. We moved where'd we go? We went to Indiana, Lafayette, Indiana, and I got a teaching degree from Purdue and moved out to Massachusetts for a couple of years with Brian's job, and then back to Illinois when we started to have babies, wanted to be closer to family. So raised our family in northern Illinois and came down to Clearwater in 2016. We had purchased a condo or a townhome on Sand Key, about 2012 or 2013, rented it for a few years, and then came down in the summer of 16.
Nice. Very, awesome. Very nice. Was your dad, by any chance, working for the governor, George Romney?
He worked for Milliken.
Milliken.
And then Blanchard, and then there was a...
So that was after Romney.
Yes, it was after Romney.
I got you.
Yep, right after Romney. But a number of his friends, I used to babysit for an older couple whose their grandson, and Stan Pratt worked for Romney and liked him a lot.
Cool. Yeah. Very, very good. Okay, well, you know, for those who are unfamiliar with Clearwater itself, because this is a Tampa Bay broadcast in a way, but we do pretty much, we're home based in here in Clearwater, and it's the third largest city in Tampa Bay, second largest in Pinellas, and the form of government is a city management council type of government. It's they sort of share power, you might say, whereas the other format is a strong mayor that you have in Tampa and St. Pete and other places. So that's the kind of format we do have. One of the great things that's happening, it's going to be really something to be proud of throughout Tampa Bay, not just locally, is Imagine Clearwater. It's opening soon. Give us some particulars.
Well, it's exciting. So it's our whole waterfront on the eastern side of Clearwater Beach, intercoastal, right, Clearwater Harbor, and it's right there on the water. We're excited because it's a total revamp of Coachman Park, and it includes a 4,000 covered seat amphitheater. We're calling it the Sound now, as well as additional seating on the lawn, and then the park section has a large green section, which we're calling the Green. It has a splash pad, it has a playground, it has tiered watered stairs, shade structures, gardens. It's really beautiful, and we see it coming out of the ground and getting finishing touches. I feel like we're in the last 10 minutes of HGTV. Right now, people can walk down there and take pictures. We also have a 24/7 cam that you can see what's going on. I meant like walk down through the fencing and stuff. You can see
through.
That's what I do, and take pictures.
Actually, I don't know if anybody had noticed that the gates are now, or the fences are taken off Coachman Park around Pierce Street there at the bottom where the bridge is. All those gates are gone.
Oh, nice.
So you can actually park there, and it's all paved, and you can actually look into the area that's still being, basically, and that's it's all groundskeeping right now.
Oh, nice.
But you can walk down there. And what's I'll let you finish here. Is an amazing part, I think, is most of that bridge stretches across the top of that parking lot. We all know when it rains, we're looking for cover. And I hope you guys utilize it somehow, because that is a huge area. If you go stand and look at how big the bridge is above you, it's a safe harbor underneath that bridge from the rain
idea.
Or whatever, but things could be set up in there. It's a huge parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. That's great. Well, you mentioned that, of course, this is supposed to kick off June 28th, if I'm correct.
Yes.
But you said there's a preview coming up June 15th.
I believe it's June 15th that I've been scrambling to get that exact date, but it is that week of the teens. And you know, I can confirm during one of your breaks, but at the Capitol Theater, Ruth Eckert Hall is hosting kind of a community open house to do a question and answer and overview of what the Sound will look like and what to expect. I know I asked our city manager to share with me information about what you're allowed to take in and out of the venue, because a friend of mine had gotten tickets, and I had asked her, and she wasn't quite sure. So there's a whole list of, you know, things that are and aren't allowed. And so I think those types of things will be covered in that community meeting.
Okay.
But I can confirm the date. And like I said, it's a teen. I think it's Tuesday. So if the 15th is Thursday, it might be The 13th, or because there's a council meeting on the 15th, so I doubt if it's that Thursday.
Well, let's see, the 5th is a Monday, the 12th is a Monday, so Wednesday would be the 14th.
I think so.
So maybe that's it, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Okay,
I already ordered my clear fanny pack, so.
Oh, cool.
I did notice the entire area underneath the sound, the roofing and stuff is all artificial turf.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have, that's where the chairs are going to be.
Yeah.
I think the cover looks like a stingray to
me.
It's
pretty, yeah, it does.
It's,
yeah.
It's really very, very pretty.
It's a piece of work in itself, artwork.
It really is.
Now, it costs like $84 million, and I understand you put up all the money for it.
I did. You know, yes. I pulled out my checkbook just to,
Council members are getting a lot of money these days.
Yeah.
Well. No, I'm just joking, of course. It's a huge, huge, when you think of $84 million bucks, how much that can buy, $5 million could buy a heck of a park.
Yeah.
$84 million.
We needed $85 though.
Oh.
Yeah, what did you want one more for?
Well,
to pay off my Lamborghini or
when
what?
The former mayor was in here, they were looking to light up the bridge underneath, and they found didn't.
Oh, that's more than
and
that.
And I think you guys are missing the boat on that one big time, because the things that would bring in at nighttime, because we all go to watch on the July 4th, we go to the concerts and stuff, we all wait for fireworks. That thing could be lit up every night. It would be a draw for
the
people to go down
there.
The Skyway
Bridge is beautiful.
I know that, but
if you've been to St. Augustine,
when you're trying to compete with other cities that are close by, they don't have that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's one thing that they can mark their work, that they have something like that. The boats that would drive underneath it.
Yeah.
The people that would stand there and take pictures. The view you would have from some of the soon-to-be apartments to be built to see that lit up and stuff.
I think Kathleen was actually a proponent of that.
Yeah. No, I was not.
Oh, you weren't?
No,
oh,
I was not. No,
I take
it's,
that back.
And it was about $4 million a number of years ago.
Wow.
And so there are some things to think about. Number one, you know, certainly it's a want. I think it would be beautiful as well. When you have to prioritize, I'm not sure that it rises to the top of the list. You know, there's also operating costs for that. The other thing to think about is, you know, with our having it lit, how many hours is it actually going to be lit in the summertime? The sun goes down at 9 something. Who's going to enjoy it? That's our residents who pay for that, right? Those are $4 million of taxpayer dollars. How many of our residents are going to be going down and taking pictures of the lit bridge? So I think it's beautiful. I think the Skyway Bridge is beautiful. I think with our deferred maintenance and a lot of other expenses in our city, we need a new fire station. We have the new city hall. You know, we have trash and recycling to deal with. So we have a lot of things that rise to the top of we've got to get these things done versus a beautiful bridge. I think that's to come. Yeah. I'm not saying that prices aren't going
to go up. I just think when you're trying to rebuild the downtown, they're not coming downtown to see the new fire station.
Yeah. Well,
okay. No.
All right. Well,
okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, you also have another celebration coming up next Monday, right?
Yes.
What's that all about? Yeah, Memorial Day?
Oh, yes, Memorial Day at Crest Lake Park. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yes, we do. We have our annual Memorial Day honoring celebration. It's at 6 o'clock at Crest Lake Park, and we hope everyone can attend. Our mayor is going to be speaking.
That park's been rebuilt beautiful.
Yes, it is.
That is a nice park.
Yes, it is. It's right off of Drew Street.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For those who don't know.
What a total reformation of that area.
It really
what
is.
It was before.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We'll
it's
have
really
to
nice.
Book it from the show. And so we'll have to run on over there.
Yeah, I think it starts at 6, right?
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, they're voting on the North Greenwood CRA?
Yes, the Board of County Commissioners are having a special meeting to vote on that. I believe it's at 5, downtown Clearwater. I'm going to be there. This is an initiative that's taken, solidly 3 years, if not more, from the Clearwater Urban Leadership Coalition, which is a grassroots group kind of, based out of North Greenwood, who pushed and asked for this finding of need, and then working on the plan and having that approved. And now it's, we approved it at the city level, and now it's going to be approved at the county level.
And Dr. Jay Matthews is going to head the CRA.
Absolutely. She heads it now. She heads the downtown CRA, and then we will have our second CRA, the North Greenwood CRA.
And CRA
so
stands
exciting.
For Community
Redevelopment Area, and then it's the Community Redevelopment Agency is what she directs.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
That's
super exciting.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. And how about Drew Street? What's happening with this?
How about Drew Street? So, you know, I have walked Drew Street many, many times, taken pictures. I walked it when, you know, one of the community leaders there, Mike Reardon owns a bike repair shop on Drew Street, said, you got to come out here and look at this. This was about 4 years ago, and we walked it. And kind of on the corner of Missouri and Drew, and then heading a little bit east is what he used to call the goat path, where there was no sidewalk at all. Okay. And so walked that and saw that it was dangerous. I mean, you could almost literally reach out and touch a car from the curb. We have sidewalks where there are utility poles in the middle. Certainly it's not ADA compliant, especially on the south side of Drew Street. And residents have been asking for years and years for improvements, safety improvements on Drew Street, and asked, and Forward Pinellas put that forward, worked with FDOT. We have about $10 million that has been earmarked and allocated for safety improvements on Drew Street. We went through community meetings. We voted on it. The city voted, and Forward Pinellas has voted numerous times. And so we voted to approve that, to go forward with a plan. The plan is not finalized as far as the final configuration. We still have more community meetings to be held. And so we sent a letter to the county that the city was in support of it, and that's where we stand. There was in the legislature this session, there was a last-minute request from Senator Hooper to have an additional study done. FDOT is doing that. It's very short. It will take into account, as they have already, but a little more specifically, any increase in traffic with the opening of our amphitheater, as well as potential development on the bluff with the Gotham development, and that'll be coming back. But okay. I understand that FDOT is confident that the findings are not going to change.
And that's Florida Department of Transportation.
That's correct. Yep.
Now, Drew Street, for those unfamiliar with it, is an east-west main, one of the main drags between Clearwater, not Clearwater Beach, but it runs from the Intercoastal Waterway all the way to McMullen Booth Road. So it's a long, long road. And there's been some issues relating to safety and what have you on it. So
I'll never drive in that left lane.
Yeah.
That, to me, they're just too close.
Yeah, especially if you got a truck.
And you're doing 40, 45 each way. Yeah. You know, yeah. That's just, I'm amazed there are in more accidents than there are now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a bad situation.
Now, there's another project sort of hand-in-hand with Imagine Clearwater, and it's kind of run into a few obstacles. And a development company called Gotham, based in New York, but they've had projects all over the country. And D'Annunzio, another developer who's locally based, are going to develop a portion of the Bluff area. Tell us what that is kind of specifically and how it's kind of morphed now.
So the development that went to referendum last November, right, and passed overwhelmingly was presented as between 500 and 600 market rate, well, actually luxury, market rate luxury apartments on our old City Hall site, and then a 158-key hotel by D'Annunzio. Gotham, out of New York, would build the apartments, luxury apartments. And then D'Annunzio is planning to build and will be building the 158-key hotel.
Which will have restaurants.
Which will have restaurants and a beer garden.
Bar, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And that goes on the old Harbor View site. Mm-hmm. And so it was moving forward, and then there was a period of due diligence after the referendum started, and Gotham asked for an extension on their due diligence to do, you know, to look at the geography and figure out their financials. And they came back and said that it's not financially feasible the way voters voted on it, the way it was presented to voters in community meetings, which was two towers. And they've come back and proposed one tower and 400 units. And not all parking is underground, which was part of our stipulation when we sent out an RFP. So some really significant changes. And they've asked for that. And
is there a deadline on that?
There is a deadline.
I think it's August 31st, if I'm
think
not
so.
Mistaken.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. And what the city has done is, because this is complex with financing, and Gotham has cited insurance, unexpected insurance costs, interest rates, and the cost of construction. And so the city has hired a special consultant to review those documents, proposals, look at the financials, and give us a recommendation of, is this a good deal for the city or not? And so we will be confirming that, I think, at our June 5th council meeting, and going forward with that, I anticipate.
Okay.
Does that sort of present, though, a conundrum in terms of what voters voted for and then what the end result will be different?
I think it's a significant conundrum. Mm. I think there's, you know, I have serious concerns about what was presented to voters and then what will ultimately perhaps be built.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you, Doug, it's also interesting that with the Live Local Act that was passed this legislative session, there are some significant incentives for developers to include affordable units in their developments in order to get very significant tax cuts. And I'm wondering if that might play a part in this.
Maybe might have to go to another referendum, or you don't know yet?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It'll be kind of interesting for sure. Obviously, it'd be a great thing for the extension of what's going on with Imagine Clearwater.
Oh, absolutely. And the downtown CRA.
Right. So hopefully it still works out. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I hope so.
Okay. In talking before the show, you mentioned that three key people have been hired with the city.
Yes.
Are you able to announce that?
Yes, I am, because it's been, you know, our city manager has communicated that to us, and I think they've all been press releases.
Okay.
So Chief Slaughter, we'll be honoring him with his retirement celebration on Wednesday.
He was the police chief.
He was our police chief, right. And he is moving into assistant city manager positions. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that. Art Cater, who has served as the assistant parks and rec director for, I think, 20-some years?
42 years.
As the assistant? Did you look? Oh, my gosh.
42 years.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah, so Art Cater is an absolute treasure.
Yes, he is.
Neighborhood leaders love him. I think he's a wonderful person to work with. I've seen him engaged with communities to help shape parks and get feedback, and he's just wonderful. So he's going to move into the director of Parks and Rec. And then Brian Langell, who has been serving as our interim gas director, has been named gas director for Clearwater Gas, and that's exciting as well.
That's wonderful.
It's kind of interesting, you know, to go from police chief and then move into a city job.
Manager, yes.
You know, you think you'd, I mean,
safer job.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah,
that's true on that situation. Plus, Jennifer Poirier is a city manager, and I'm sure gets along well with her. So they have some business chemistry between them in that
regard.
I think
they really do. I think Chief Slaughter does with.
Yes.
I can't think of anybody that he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he's incredibly well respected.
Yes,
and,
he is.
He knows the city and. He's thoughtful and diplomatic and a calming presence and incredibly hard working.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to
sit down
and work
with him. I think it's going to work out well for all concerned.
Do you want to talk about the strategic plan at all?
Let's do that right after we take a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. We're going to be back after these short messages. So please stay with us on the Kelly Show, and we'll hear back from you right after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. In only its second year, ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater's citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
You run your business with a laser-like focus on success. Challenges come at you from every angle, but you stay the course. Your calendar is full, and your time is limited. So how do you deal with governmental issues that can impact your business? Turn to Amplify Clearwater, your chamber of commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater monitors legislation on the city, county, and state levels to identify issues that will impact businesses in the region. Then they become your voice to our elected representatives. They listen, watch, then take action to either support positive legislation or table bills that would negatively affect our business community. But they need your support to continue this vital work. Why not join the chamber today? Visit AmplifyClearwater.com for all the details and to submit a membership application. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly. I'm here with my better half, Doug Kelly. Notice I said half.
Yes. I said three quarters last time.
That's right. I'm all about equality. So anyway, we're here with Clearwater City Council person Kathleen Beckman, and we're learning all about new things going on with Clearwater. And I wonder, do you want to talk about the strategic plan at all? What's happening?
Sure, I will. I'm super excited about the strategic plan. So when I was running to be elected, part of the campaign discussions and stuff was about updating our strategic plan. And it's taken us a good part of 3 years to get where we are. But I'm some kind of starts and stops. We had COVID. We had some facilitators that didn't really mesh with council members or the staff, and so had a number of discussions. But essentially, we had public engagement. We had surveys. We conferred with the staff. We looked at demographics and trends in housing, economic development, and the environment, and came together and during a number of strategic planning sessions came up with an updated strategic plan, and we approved it earlier this month, and I'm super excited about it. I have a copy of it here. It's on our website. I suggested that we get it blown up, like maybe, you know, 5 feet by 3 feet, and put it in the council chamber on the wall so that people would know these are the priorities of the city. This is what we're committed to. Now, there are a whole bunch of them. The subheadings are a high-performing government to deliver our services, fire, police, streets, sidewalks, mm-hmm. water, sewer, all that stuff. Economic and housing opportunities is another column. Community well-being, kind of quality of life, is another column. Environmental stewardship, I'm really happy that's on there. Our previous strategic plan did not even have the word environment on it anywhere. And then we have superior public service. And that's promote a diverse and talented workforce through competitive opportunities, employee wellness, and rewarding career growth to really diversify our economic contributors or feeders. We have a vision and a mission. I think it's fantastic. I encourage people to, I have about 25 or 30 copies of these that I carry around and share with people, but I say if residents want to advocate for something, look on our strategic plan, see where it is, come to the council meeting and advocate for things. But what's important, I think, about the strategic plan with these objectives is certainly we can't focus on everything every year, and we can't allocate money to everything all the time. But what we can do as a council and staff is have a strategic planning meeting each year, determine what our priorities are for that year out of this list, allocate funds or resources to meet those priorities. Hopefully we set some measurable goals, and then we move on and we are held accountable at the end of the fiscal year or the calendar year. Did we do this? And be transparent with our residents. And I think that's good not only for our residents, but most importantly, really, it's good for staff, because with a council potentially shifting every 2 years, Clearwater has had a problem with moving the direction of what we focus on. And I think if we can really hold true to our strategic plan and those annual strategic planning sessions, I think that will make for a better, more effective, efficient, happier staff, and we can make real progress that way. So I'm super proud of it. The other side of the strategic plan document, and it's on our website, talks about the planning process and how we came to develop the strategic plan. So it's all there. It's accessible. I'm super excited. It's got a dashboard.
What is the website for that?
MyClearwater.com.
Gotcha. Okay.
I want to get two more things in here. Sand Key Park has something new.
Oh, yes. Super excited. So last Friday, a Mobi mat was installed. And it's by it's a 372-foot mat that extends from the parking area out onto the sand. And it allows people who have challenges with mobility to access the beach, and especially that view of the water. And so wheelchair, walkers, canes, it just has stability. It's pretty wide. We'll keep it free of sand. And it was sponsored by a nonprofit called, their acronym is HUGS. And I can look it up here. I've got this document. I just put it in my newsletter. But it's a local nonprofit. And HUGS stands for, here we go, Help Us Gather. And And they raised funds for this. I think it was about $27,000.
Okay. Since you brought up your newsletter, how do people sign up for it?
Well, they can go to Kathleen Beckman, ClearwaterCityCouncil.com. I have a website, and you can sign up right there. You can email me.
Because it's pretty informative.
Is it Kathleen dot Beckman?
No, Kathleen Beckman, ClearwaterCityCouncil.com. I have a website as well.
I see.
And then on that website, you can sign up. Or people can email me and say, sign me up for a newsletter if you want.
Okay. Now, you introduced me to something that I'm super grateful for. It's called Lunch Pals. Yeah. And I meet every week with a elementary student to have lunch for a half hour. Well, it's actually an hour. Yeah, because it's supposed to be a half hour, but I end up staying an hour with a student at a local elementary school, and you got me into that. But particularly needed are men mentors.
Yes.
So anybody out there listening, if you want to make a difference in a child's life, you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, so I was a former high school English teacher. I love teaching. I love children, being around kids. I miss it a lot. And I like being in the public schools and really, you know, championing public schools. When I first moved here, I started volunteering with Panther Pals at Ridgecrest Elementary. And we read for about an hour and a half once a week with some struggling K through second grade readers. And it was really nice. And then once I started to gravitate more towards Clearwater, and I learned about the Lunch Pals at Sandy Lane. I was at Sandy Lane helping distribute backpacks, I think it was last August, and somebody said, hey, you know, do you want to volunteer here? And they introduced me to the Lunch Pals. So I have Sophia, she's a second grader, and I have, like you, have lunch with her once a week. I don't really eat. It's at 10:30. Well, it's at...
I don't either.
It's at 11:15. And, but anyway, we play, what is that? Connect Four. We do some crafts sometimes. She's real chatty. But it's wonderful. Pinellas County Schools has a number of volunteer opportunities.
They do.
And you can, you know, have mentor this child and follow them along throughout their entire school career. Mm-hmm. They are really in need of male volunteers and
they are.
Male role models.
I'm impressed with it. I'm going to sign up for the next
that
year.
That would be great. And you know,
I'd love to do
it's flexible. Sophia has lunch the same time every day of the week. If I've got some critical meeting on Wednesday, I can come in on Thursday. Mm-hmm. They really work with you in your schedule. It's amazing.
I understand you can be a big brother, big sister. You can go on field trips. There's different ways you can serve. So,
absolutely.
Is it held at the elementary school?
It is, right at the elementary school.
I'd do it, but the furniture doesn't fit me anymore.
Oh, they have different
they
furniture.
Have different,
they have all sorts
chairs.
Of things.
You know, I visited my elementary school, and I couldn't believe I sat in those seats.
They have different
every school, I think every school has mentoring
they do.
Opportunities, high school, middle school, guest speakers, you can
let
sign
me tell
up.
You what I found out.
Yeah.
You can do it from your phone. You can do it
virtual?
On Zoom. Yeah, you don't even have to go
that's
to the
not
school.
The same,
oh,
though.
Come on, that's not the same thing.
No. It isn't the same thing, but it makes a difference
it does.
In a child's life.
And during COVID, I was a reading pal with kids through Zoom. We did reading through Zoom. I mean, you make it work.
You make it work.
Well, during COVID, we had to do that.
Yeah. You do, but it's something, right?
It is.
It's
better than nothing, for sure.
It is.
And if you don't have enough people doing it, it helps fill that out.
It really does.
But I've got to think in person. It's got to be more rewarding, both for the child and yourself.
Sure. It really is.
Yeah. And these kids, they really need it. They come from broken homes. Their families are all over the country. It's sad. Some of these stories. So.
Sometimes you're the only, you know, real consistent. I'm a guardian ad litem as well. And, you know, when a child who's in the DCFS system has multiple case workers and things like that, sometimes you're the only consistent for years.
It's true.
You know, the kids I've been with, it's 6 years. So
wow. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Well, also, before we move on, tell us about your family.
Well, I have my husband, Brian, is here with me, and he worked in the corporate world with Kraft General Foods and it was bought and sold, so Mondelez, and he did international warehouse management. He was with Systems, so he traveled a lot. And then we have three children, Josh, Sarah, and Michael. They're all three married. Josh and his wife, Mary Beth, are in Chicago, and Sarah and her husband, Bradley, are in Charlotte, and Michael and Megan, our youngest, are in D.C., and they're all doing very well.
Good for them.
My parents are in Michigan, and I'm going to go there in the middle of June. My mom's birthday is in the middle of June, Father's Day weekend, and so I'm going to go and visit them for about a week. So I'm looking forward to that. Nice. Brian's mom is in Largo. At
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's, and so it's
That's
good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are your future plans? Are you going to there's an election coming up.
There is.
So you obviously have the option of running for seat three. Mm-hmm. Some say we take a shot at mayor. Mm-hmm. But you do want to continue your service.
I do want to continue my service. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I am privileged, honored, and very, very happy to serve on Clearwater City Council. I love the work, and I want to continue the work. And so I plan to run. I have not made a decision yet, but I plan to continue the work and looking forward to it. Yeah, think about that in September.
Now, a lot of people don't realize that there's like 1,800 employees who work for the city of Clearwater.
That's
an enormous staff.
It is. You know, and the budget is a little over $500 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a large city, significant
yes.
undertaking. Mm-hmm. But it takes everybody doing their part. We have wonderful leadership. We have great staff, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
What do you like doing on your time off, you and Brian, besides listening to our show?
Yeah, on Monday afternoons. Well, we like to cook. We like to fish. We went fishing. We went wade fishing Sunday. Saw a lot of sheep's head around our feet. And
I did not know this about you.
Yeah, like to fish. Yeah,
we do like to fish. They're delicious.
Are they?
They're very white, thick meat.
Do you have a boat?
We do have a real small bay boat. Well, I mean, it's a bay boat that we love. We love to just go out. We're never out of sight of land, really.
Mm-hmm. Next time you go and you wade fish and you see the sheep's head, bring some fiddler crabs or sheep's or sand fleas.
Yeah.
Or even small crabs. They'll gobble them up.
Yeah. I had a little pinfish, and they weren't interested. Of course, that's kind of big.
Bigger for them,
We did see a snook go by, but he wasn't interested in... But I really like, I brought my the gigging stick because...
I saw that.
We have done floundering before, gigging at night, but I haven't seen flounder in a long time.
Yeah.
So this is what you brought into the studio.
I did bring that in because
I thought that was a mop.
No,
okay.
I'm meeting Kathy Flaherty, who is a community activist in the East Gateway, and we were going to be... Actually, we were going to clean Stevenson's Creek over... Saturday, and that got canceled because of the sewage overflow, which is unpleasant.
Oh, yes.
And so she and I are going to clean up Glen Oaks Park today, which actually feeds into Stevenson's Creek. So I'm meeting her at 6. And
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Because that's nowhere nearer, I thought.
Well, Kathy said it drains in there. Oh. I don't know if it goes through the golf course. And yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do a little game with you first, just to lighten things up. And you've done it before. It's called a Make a Choice game.
Okay.
Kelly and I are going to mention a series of two items, and you just pick your favorite.
Okay.
Okay? Real simple. I'll go first. County fairs or theme parks?
County fairs, for sure.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah.
We still have a county fair here.
State fair.
Wonderful. I love the goats, and I saw a calf being born at the state fair.
Did you really?
Yeah. They walked her right up onto this a boxing ring.
Oh my gosh.
And there she was giving birth. I must have been, you know, my mouth must have hit the floor, but I watched it. It was amazing.
That's not something you see very often.
No.
Wow.
You don't forget it either.
Brick roads or asphalt roads?
Oh, brick roads.
Yeah, they're more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it kind of brings you back to the 1800s, you know?
Yeah.
Christmas cards or in the mail or emails?
Oh, Christmas cards in the mail.
Darn right. That's I don't know why email has taken over so much. It's killed telephone conversations, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I agree. A nice Christmas card in the mail is a lot more special.
It is.
Gay 90s or the roaring 20s?
Ooh. Hmm.
A little history question.
Yeah. I think the roaring 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were. That was pretty cool. With the
flappers and the flapper girls. Women kind of coming out a little bit.
And of course Prohibition started, which was all gangsters and all that whole
era. Suffrage movement, all that kind of stuff.
Suffrage movement, exactly. Horse and buggy or Model T?
I think Model T.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. I had an uncle that had those kinds of, a couple of those cars.
But, horse and buggy ride is kind of neat. Have you been to New Orleans?
Yeah. I have not.
You've got to go and take the horse and buggy ride.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Or in the Bahamas, Nassau.
Okay, haven't been there either. Okay.
It just sort of brings you in with that clop, clop, clop of the horse and the narration of things that you're looking at. It's kind of cool. But a Model T would be pretty cool, too. That's for sure.
Sideburns or handlebar mustaches?
Oh, wow. I think probably sideburns.
Elvis, remember Elvis Presley's?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You know he had fake sideburns?
No, I did not know
that. They actually came down and looked and took went a big blunted end, and they were fakes. They were stick-ons.
Oh, gosh.
Are you kidding me? No. Really? I didn't know that.
Unbelievable. Log cabins or brick homes?
Log cabins.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's more romantic.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Fire and the hearth and... Be nice to have a summer place summer place in Alaska, outside Fairbanks or such, Anchorage maybe.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Brace yourself. Winter in Florida or winter in Michigan?
Oh, wow. Well, winter in Michigan for about 3 days, and then definitely winter in Florida.
Let them play with the slush and the melted snow.
That's right.
All right. Well, this is the last question. It's, again, kind of tough one for you, but let's see how it rolls. I wrote it down while we were chatting.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Are the Florida State Seminoles or the Purdue Boilermakers?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I did go to Purdue.
I know you did. That's why I did this. It's a throw you question.
Yeah.
I know how much you despise Florida State, and I don't blame you.
No, not at all.
I'm just kidding. I'm a University of Miami Hurricane. Mm-hmm. I've got a thing with the Seminoles and the Gators, but they're great schools.
Mm-hmm.
But Purdue, did you enjoy your...
I did very, very much.
Did you?
I did. I love that campus.
Now, where is it based?
In Lafayette, West Lafayette, Indiana. Yeah, and there's nothing there, like no water. It's cornfields. You really study, and it's hot and dry, but... phenomenal professors and an education, and it's a great place.
First rate school, no doubt about it. Great reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Cal, did you think of doing a prayer or a verse?
I did not.
You did not. Okay, because we usually end the show with a verse, but
you caught me off guard.
But I caught her off guard. I appreciate that. I usually cue you. The day before, before we do up a little schematic, but I
isn't it like do unto others? I mean,
do unto others as others would have you do unto them.
The golden rule.
The golden rule, exactly.
Yeah.
And we were talking about some of the other things, too, that we were going to go into, and one of them is today's adage, which I have not done. But first we need to thank our guest.
Our guest is Kathleen Beckman, city councilperson for Clearwater.
Thanks so much for being here. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate all that you do for the community. Opening doors for people that are doing things and exposure. And
thank you. Well, we try to be a community asset. We try that. And today's adage, don't let negative people drag you down. Just remember to forgive yourself. You are human, flawed, but most of all, worthy of love. Thanks for being with us today on The Kelly Kelly Show. Please think of joining us every Monday at the same time and station for another entertaining and upbeat edition of The Kelly Kelly Show. On behalf of Kelly, Big Ed, and myself, be kind to yourself and others.
Thanks for listening to the award-winning Kelly Kelly Show on the Tantalk Radio Network.